beautiful artist friends. Welcome to the Do It For The Process podcast. I am your host, Emily Jeffords, coming to you live. Well, not live, but coming to you from my studio in South Carolina where the birds are singing. I don't know if you can hear them in the background, but they are maybe fighting. Actually, I don't know, but they're very, very active and it's honestly a vibe and I love it. I'm a painter and a mother of three, and I get to mentor and help other artists grow their businesses while also growing my own business. And I'm a big dreamer. I am happy that you're here. I'm suddenly finding myself to be a podcast host, and well, not suddenly, I've had this podcast for like, I don't know, 4 years now, so it's not, definitely not sudden. But you know when you sit down and you think about who you're gonna be when you're older, and you're just like, I'll be this and this. I thought I would own a daffodil farm and have two horses. And I do have daffodils. I have three daffodils in my front yard and no horses at all. And instead I am an artist and I have a podcast and a course and a membership for artists. So here we are. Welcome to my studio and to my ramblings. All right, we're here today to focus, not to ramble. If you are just joining us, you're in for a little bit of a treat, because while I do dream of having a daffodil farm and horses, I am a nerd. I've tried to change it. I've tried to hide it. There's no point. It doesn't work. It just comes out of me. I'm dorky. I've been called dorky, and I'm okay with that. I'm also someone that loves beauty, and I create a lot of beauty, and I hope I create a lot of clarity for other artists. And you're in for a treat today, because today is going to be the nerdiest it gets. And if you are an artist that wants to create more beauty without having to think about all of the ins and outs of running a business and the side of your brain that might not live so much in creative flow, is that the right side or the left side? I always forget because I'm dyslexic, but it's the side that's like more analytical. You don't want to live there. That's fine. Just listen to this episode and take the tips that resonate with you and leave the ones that don't. And then if you haven't done so yet, go listen to the other episodes in this podcast, particularly part one and two of this series. We're talking about social media and marketing predictions for 2024. And this is part three. So if you like what you hear here, then there's more. I have a lot more. So go listen to the other two episodes as well. And then there's a whole giant podcast. I think we're on episode like 85 or something. I don't actually know, but there's a lot of episodes. So if you need more, I love you and I'm here for you. Let's do it. Oh, and this is very important. Please pay attention. Are you ready? Pull out your phone. If your phone is sitting somewhere and you're not next to it or you're driving, pull over right away. I'm kidding. Don't do that. But do listen to me and take this seriously. Next week, I'll be teaching a free workshop every single day, Monday through Friday at noon Eastern time. Replays are available. If that time doesn't work for you, no problem. I got you. This workshop is called Share the Work, and it's designed to help artists share their work more boldly, more effectively, in a way that will attract your ideal buyers, your clients, your audience, your collectors, whatever people that you're trying to attract. There's some pretty simple and yet hard, like they're hard. Growing a business is not easy. I'm not trying to ever say that it's easy, but there are some pretty simple steps that you can take. And in this workshop, we're going to talk about those steps and we'll talk about ways that you can do it. And we'll get to hear from people that have done this, including myself. As you can probably tell, I didn't expect this life. I didn't expect this job. And it's unfolded and I've walked through it and I've chosen every little bit of it, but every single step has felt like a lily pad. Like I'm hopping from lily pad to lily pad and I can't quite see what's happening five lily pads in the future, but I can see the next one. And that's such a beautiful way to live and such an alive way to live. And if you can trust yourself and trust the beautiful structure that you've built for yourself, you can really, really grow and you can really share your work in a way that is effective and productive and lets you create a life that feels like you. And that's all I want for every single artist that I meet and every artist that I get to work with, is what makes you feel most alive? How can we make a business around that? Because I'm nearly certain we can. I've seen very few instances where we can't. A great example of this is in the last go around of making artwork in 2023, which is a course that I teach, by the way. Making Art Work is a 9-week masterclass on running a creative business. There was someone that created a very successful business on embroidering denim jackets. Like, successful business. So it can be as beautiful and complex, and maybe you feel like it's obscure, but it's definitely not. If there's a craving for what you're creating, then you can grow a business around that. And it can be as big or as small as you want it to be. Whenever I lead a mastermind, which is for artists that have reached a certain level in their business where they need some expertise, that's maybe a little bit outside of themselves. Whenever I lead a mastermind like that, we always wrestle with the idea of how big do you want this to be? And that's an important question, because you could grow something way, way, way bigger than you actually want, because your ego says that it should be big, or your society says that it should be big, or people around you are saying, why would you not want growth? Why would you want to keep something small? You might want something to be small because it actually makes you happier. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. Like, when is it good to say no, because it's not your dream, it's someone else's dream, and that's valid. And when is it okay, and when should you say a resounding yes, because something belongs inside of you? And while it might be scary to see it, you know, actualized and to see it become real in the world, because upper limits are real and we have to really work through them and allow ourselves to be abundant in our souls in order for that to happen, to see that kind of growth, that takes a lot of bravery. And if you're feeling like, I want to be a little bit bigger, I want to be a little bit more aligned, I want to grow a business that feels like it is actually mine, then join Share the Work. It's totally free. We get to talk every day about these big, beautiful things, and I would love to see you in there. You do have to RSVP. So scroll up a little bit. If you have your phone, this is what I was saying, pull over right away. If you have your phone, then all you do is scroll up into the show notes and click the link that says Share the Work. It's so, so simple. So, so simple. There we go. I can't even talk. It's so simple. And you RSVP and you're good to go. I'll send you the link to join the live and we can talk. We can get into it. There are worksheets. There's a private community space. There's some homework for you. It's not going to take a bunch of your time. Don't worry about the commitment. It's going to be something that fits into your life right now, I promise you. But you're going to walk away with a lot of change and a lot of possibility and a lot of expanded ideas. That's my ultimate goal. So if I don't do that, then please tell me, because I have failed and I need to know. But you are going to walk away with such an expanded viewpoint on what your career can be, what you can do, what you're capable of. And you'll be in a community that normalizes the success of artists. What a gift. Like, that alone is worth every single penny, and it's free. So that's even better. But being in a space that normalizes your success as a creative is revolutionary, because we are told that artists should be small, that we are unreliable, that we should be suffering, that that's the expected outcome for our lives, is to be a suffering artist. Are you kidding me? No, thank you. No, no, no. I don't think any of us want that. We might feel things deeply. We might be very in touch with the pain of the human existence, but we don't need to suffer because we don't have any money. We're not doing that anymore. This is no longer the 1600s. So join us, join this beautiful group, and let's create a safe space where we can talk about the struggles, the actual real struggles that it takes to overcome those mindsets, to grow a business, to grow something around your tender, vulnerable, precious art. You will never hear me diminish that, because I know intimately how that feels. I know intimately how brave you have to be to show up as a creative entrepreneur. Still, I've been selling my art publicly since 2007, and I still get nervous. I had a collection launch last week, and I'm so proud of it, and I love it so much, and they have all been collected. Every piece has been sold, and that's incredible. And I've done that so many times. I think this is like, I was trying to count, and it's near my 100th collection, if it wasn't my 100th collection. I have a fuzzy phase in my collections where I'm like, wait, I don't know how many, but a lot of collections of artwork have been sold from my studio, from my heart. And every single time, very well received. And every single time, I am still scared. Every time. So if you feel a little bit of those same nerves, you are in good company. Let me tell you, I am with you. And yet we show up, right? And yet we support our art. And yet we let our art have the voice that it deserves to have, because it's good and it's powerful and it's beautiful and it wants to change the entire world. No big deal. We got this. Okay, let's talk practically today about how we can better market our work in 2024. And these are my humble predictions. These are my observations. These are not scientific data, but I'm pretty sure they're right. Take a moment, go get your notebook, get some paper, get a pencil, get your favorite pen, whatever you need. You will want to take notes on this episode and on the other two episodes in this series, because these tips are so practical and so actionable. What I want from you today is good notes, please, thank you. And number two, I want you to take one of these tips and begin to implement it over the next few days. You don't have to do it right away. Like, think about it. Think about how you should do it for your business and for your ideas beautifully. But I want you to implement one of these tips, okay? So again, this is your little pause. I'm going to play some music. Go get your pencil, your paper, and let's dive in. Okay, let's dive in. I promise you this will be very, very full. So if you didn't hear me correctly and didn't grab a pen and a paper or your little notes app on your phone, just prepare to consume a lot of information and keep it in your brain. Honestly, if that works for you, that works for me quite often. I am an auditory learner, and hearing information is the way that I retain it best a lot of times. Not all the time, but a lot of times. Okay, quick recap from episodes 1 and 2 in this three-part series. Number one, your reach is more important than your following. And along with that, engagement is more important than your following. And I know that's countercultural. We've been hearing so much about your follower count, about having more and more followers, and that is important. Yes, having followers is helpful because it helps you just have a larger base that you consistently speak to. But your reach and your engagement are more important than your following. So let go of that vanity metric. It honestly is that a lot of times, because you could have a large following who isn't seeing your stuff, and that isn't helpful at all. So reach, engagement, and then following. The next thing we talked about was being a human is far better than being AI. I love automations. I love AI intelligence is absolutely incredible. That's redundant, I know. But I think it's incredible to use these tools. Honestly, I had a little emotional attachment to my AI this morning when I asked it a question and it replied so kindly. I was like, oh, thank you. That's so nice. I'm like, Emily, this is not a being that understands that it's being nice. Maybe it does. Maybe it's that diabolical. I don't know. But it was just like, I had a little wake up call when I had this emotional softening to the words that I read that was written by AI. It was so weird. So anyways, I'm going to go back and I'm going to really just hone in on this point for a second. Being a human on the internet is very important. Having human to human connection is very important. Sharing your humanity, which might come out in the form of you being funny or insightful or perceptive or just very anti-robotic. Like, maybe there's something about the way that you write that, like, AI would definitely not allow you to have 3 exclamation points and 5 dashes and 10 emojis, whatever your thing may be. You can be human. I actually really enjoy it when I see a misspelling. And that comes from someone that also, like, misspells things chronically. Literally, I have very manageable dyslexia, but it happens to me all the time that I send out things with misspellings in them because I just don't notice them. And when I notice a misspelling or an error or like a mistype in someone's words, I'm like, oh my gosh, a human wrote this. And it wasn't overly edited and overly produced. And like, it didn't run through a million software filters. Like, a human just sent this into the world. And that somehow, something about that feels, it doesn't feel unpolished to me. It doesn't feel gross to me. It feels deeply humanizing, like very, very normalizing. And I like that personally. So You don't have to add misspellings into your content. I'm not saying that. But I would recommend that instead of leaning into the technology of AI and stripping your content and your ideas of soul and of personality, that you lean into your personality, lean into your humanity. The next tip from podcast number one is to create themes. So threads, themes, stories, part one, two, three, four, five, six, you know, that kind of content. Something that your audience can sink into, fall into, and find a lot of safety in. Go back and listen to that if you need some ideas. Okay, in episode number two in this three-part series, we talked about the fact that video is better than photo. But caveat, photo has a place. Photo is coming back. There was a year, 2013 in particular, where video was the only thing that mattered on the algorithms. Photos were deeply, deeply underserved. And that's shifting a bit, especially in the form of carousel posts or text in images. Text images are doing really, really well right now. These are always changing though. My prediction for 2024 is that video is still going to be the most important thing. So plan on capturing video. If you need some insight into how to do that effectively, join Making Art Work. We can talk about that in there. But photos have a space and they're going to become a little bit more popular than they were in 2023. Thank goodness. Along with that, easy and low production content is more important or maybe has more weight than high production content. So you can post things that feel, again, a little bit human, a little bit like you're talking right to the camera, sharing your off-the-take thoughts, sharing things that come naturally to you, being a very approachable friend, mentor, companion, whoever you want to appear to these people. That can be more effective than that high production, high produced, high edited content. The third point from episode number two is personal contact is way better than speaking to the masses. Instead of just speaking over people, speak to one person. And you can make those conversations public if you'd like to. You can have it as a tone of voice so that you're speaking with a person in mind. But speaking and making connections with the individuals in your audience is so important. And I didn't say this in episode two, so please just like add this like a little addendum. Having a small audience is so helpful for this. Because you are able to get to know your audience members, you're able to get to know your followers, your following. Followers is a strange word, but you know what I mean. People that are following what you're posting. Because your audience is smaller, you actually have the space to engage with them. When your audience gets bigger, it becomes overwhelming and your DMs become fuller and fuller, especially when we talk about today's content, your DMs might become really full to the point that you might not be able to manage them and it might be a little overwhelming. And that's exhausting. So if your audience is smaller, then really lean into that personal contact because you can. I don't really think it matters how big your audience is. I follow some people who have massive audiences and they're still engaging with their audience person to person. Not everybody, of course, because that would be exhausting. But when they're able to, when they can, when it makes an impact, they do. And you can see it and you can feel it. And there's some energy there that I just think is really special. One way that I try to do this, and my audience is not unmanageably large, right? I have 105,000 followers. That's a lot of people, but it's not like I have a million and they're not, you know, just this horde of people. Like that would be really overwhelming. But one way that I try to do this, even with my size following, is if I get a DM and then it's a thoughtful question or a thoughtful comment, I'll reply with my voice. Because I can do that. And honestly, it's much easier than typing a reply. And it feels so human and so like, you know, when you get a live photo texted to you by a friend or someone and you can just like click on the photo and you see what's happening around the photo, like what's happening around that 1 second scene. And it's almost like having a little glimpse into more like the humanity is exposed. I feel like that's what it feels like to get a live or to get an audio message as a DM. It's so special. So okay, that's my last tip. That was a little bonus. Didn't even include that in episode number two, but if you listen to episode number three, you get a bonus tip from that episode. Great. Let's talk about today's content. The first tip that we're going to be getting into today is automations are better than links in bio. This is a little bit of a new thing that's happening to the internet. but it's honestly so fun and it is incredibly effective, incredibly effective. I use a service called ManyChat and I haven't used it often. I've used it for a couple of offers. I have a workbook that we offered in January and January and February, the How to Attract Collectors book. I sent that out as an automation in response to comments on an Instagram post. And when they commented with a certain word in their DMs, they got a link to download the book magically. Like, it was magic. It was so, so cool. And it was so easy for my audience to do that and so novel and fun for them to do that, that many, many, many of them downloaded the book that way. Like, hundreds. And had I said link in bio, there would have been some people that went to the link and clicked the link and then clicked the link and then followed that and then downloaded the book. And like, it would have been a whole thing, right? Like a lot of buttons to click, right? And you can make it as easy as possible, but it's still like effort and you have to leave the app and it's a whole thing. The ratio to people that were that went through this automation process right in their DMs, which again, back to point number, episode number two, making that personal connection and those personal like points of contact, having something in someone's DMs is so intimate versus asking them to go to the link in your bio and then leave the app to get something is so impersonal. To get the same result, I wanted them to have the book and they want the book, but the journey to getting the book is so very, very different and the automation made that possible. Now, you could totally do that without the automation. You could just say, hey, I'll DM you the link. If you, you know, send me a DM, I'll reply with the link. You can make that really easy and that could definitely be a way that you deliver that without having the automation involved. But like working less. Yes, please. I am a huge fan of that. So play with it if you'd like to. Again, the service that I use is called ManyChat. I don't have an affiliate code for you. I would love it if I did. I should definitely set that up. But I've loved it so far and I've only used it a couple of times. This is a new thing for me, but it's fun and it's easy for everyone involved. And I've only gotten a little bit of pushback about it. Someone replied, not in a rude way, just like, oh, it's weird that you have to use a bot to send me this book, but whatever, I guess you're so big and busy now that you can't do it yourself. And I'm like, I replied back and I'm like, hi, it's still me. This is an automation, but it's just to get the conversation started. And I hope you really enjoy your workbook. I hope that it, you know, serves you. So there's ways that you can humanize. Even if you get some feedback, you can be like, hi, I'm still a human and I'm seeing your DMs. So you can definitely like negate that feedback a little bit if you need to. Okay, this episode is a little bit nerdier. We're talking about automations. We're going to talk next about ads. So this is next level. If you're like just beginning your career, maybe don't begin with ads unless you have a really solid understanding of who your audience is, how you can meet them, what they want, how you can offer that to them. Like you have to have a very, very clear understanding of what you're doing before you begin pouring a lot of money into ads, in my opinion, because ads take a lot of trial and error, a lot, and that takes money, and money can be it's an energy source. And if you're spending it on things that aren't returning to you, it's exhausting. So that's the way I think about ads personally. But when they work, that money that you're spending returns energy to you, doesn't take from you, right? So the ad dollars are not being a waste. They're being put to good use by bringing people in that are going to really love and respect and admire and desire what you're creating. And that is beautiful. So when I recommend creatives run ads, I recommend that you lean in to the thing that makes you special. Lean in to the thing that makes you and your work unique. So really get specific on who your audience member may be. The more specific you are with what you post in a particular algorithm like TikTok or Pinterest or Instagram or YouTube, wherever you're posting this content and wanting to also run ads, the more specific your content is, the more the algorithm already knows about you. Instagram and Facebook, the entire Meta platform, are always watching what you're posting, what you're sharing, the things that you're talking about, the things that they're looking for themes between your work. And then they're showing your work to an audience that they know is going to resonate with your content. So for example, if I were to consistently post my palettes, images of my palettes, photos of my palettes, videos, all the things, just palettes, 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 Meta would know that. They would track that. The algorithm would notice what I'm posting, that it's consistent, and they would show my work, they would show my posts to other people that are interested in palettes, most likely artists, right? Because they see that theme, they see that common thread, that tie between us. So when it comes to organic reach, which is unpaid ads, you haven't put any money behind this. This is just a natural organic reach. That's really, really effective because Meta then, and this also applies to TikTok and for sure Pinterest and for sure YouTube, every algorithm that has some kind of algorithm that's tracking and recommending content, they're all doing this, okay? So I'm gonna just probably say Instagram instinctually because I'm thinking of that in my mind, but any algorithm would fit into this. So if you have organic reach, meaning people are seeing your content without you putting any ad dollars behind it, the more consistently you're showing up in a space with a theme and a tone of voice and an aesthetic, there we go, the more likely you are to get organic reach because the algorithm is very simple-minded and it likes patterns. It loves patterns, actually. Now, when you put some ad dollars behind that, Meta is still very aware of your patterns. It's very aware of what you're sharing and what's happening in your feed and who it is attracting and who it would attract if you happen to be able to reach a wider audience. So you can just basically put some ad dollars behind a post. I don't recommend boosting posts. I do it every now and then, I'm not gonna lie. But it's much more effective to go into your business manager on Facebook Business Manager, and manage your Meta ads inside of that space. And you can do engagement posts or traffic posts or messaging posts, all kinds of things. You can really set it out the way that you want it to be. Lead generation, all kinds of things. And you can just say, like, just send it to the people that are going to like it. You can decide for me, Meta, you can just do this part for me, and that can be great. And honestly, that works fairly well. The recommended audiences are usually pretty decent. However, I really recommend getting to know your audience and your ideal audience and running ads for them. What kind of magazines are they listening to? Oh my gosh. I definitely meant, what kind of magazines are they reading? What kind of TV shows are they watching? What are they listening to? Where are they going for vacation? Like, just kind of get to know them a little bit. Imagine their life. Imagine where they are. Where are they demographically? Who are they following? Does anyone resemble you or look kind of like you? This is definitely a lot to think through. We go through all of this inside of module one of making art work, where we get to know your audience. You get to think through that market research and really get to know these people, like humanize them whilst you're being a human in front of them. Why don't you also humanize them and you can have a conversation, which is way more fun than like trying to yell via a newspaper ad to the masses. That doesn't really work for a reason. So you can definitely throw a wide net and try to just attract whoever you might want to attract, but your ad dollars are going to go much, much further if you're much more concise with who you're trying to reach. And again, if you're like, oh my gosh, I need so much more guidance, show me what to do. This is inside of Making Art Work. I have a whole demo on this, and we have a Meta ads expert to come and speak with us because Meta is always changing. Running ads is no joke. It is very complex. There are a million moving parts, and your ad dollars should go as far as they can possibly go. Like, don't screw that up. So Making Art Work has a lot of content about that and a lot of knowledge about that, both from my experience, I've run a lot of ads, and then also from the expert, who is someone that I turn to whenever I need help in this area. So really, really, really great. But I would recommend that before you even consider putting $1 down for any ad at all, that you get to know your audience, help them become humans in your mind. They are humans. They are beautiful. They are complex. They are so great, just like you and me. And then speak to them. Like, I know that you might be reaching an audience. It's called a cold audience when you don't know them and they don't know you. It's a cold audience, technically. But they're not. They're warm. They're humans who are living and breathing, and they want to feel like they get to know you in that process as well. So the more you can use your ads as a humanizing tool, the better. Again, more on that inside of Making Art Work. If you are joining the course, just prepare yourself. We will definitely get into the weeds on this and I will demo how to do this exactly, and you'll hear from my ads expert as well. So more on that in there. Okay, tip number three. This one's so fun. We're taking it way closer to the heart in this tip. If that feels good to you, beautiful. I know we talked about automations and ads and like nerd. Let's bring it way back. Let's come back to like you and the humans in your space connecting and feeling safe together. I like to think of any social media space as a community. My comment section is my community space. My DMs are my community space. Anything that I post is my community space. And within that space, you can set up a framework. You can set up an expectation for this community has this kind of culture. Inside of my private Facebook group, we have rules. We have like actual community guidelines, and those are written. People have to agree to them. It's stated. Everything is clear. Even without those clearly defined rules, things like treat each other with kindness, respect one another, do not sell to one another, like things like that, that are pretty basic. Like, you know, within a community, you don't want it to feel gross or weird. So you just set up rules and everyone lives by them, right? Even without them being defined and written and agreed to inside of a social media space like TikTok or Pinterest or Instagram or any place, you get to curate the emotional climate of your community space. So you get to say in my space, in my comment section, in my like whatever, the content that I'm going to be sharing is like this. It's going to feel like this. If anyone violates these unwritten, unspoken, you can speak them, you can write them if you want, like that would be great. But in my space, we're going to behave this way. When you have that kind of structure set up, people begin to feel very safe. They begin to feel like you will take care of them, that in your comment section, they will not get bullied. They will not have someone speak badly to them. They can share an opinion without getting attacked by you, without getting attacked by someone else in the community. And that's just my personal preference. If I see someone being rude in my comments, I will delete that comment. No questions asked. I don't feel like I need to apologize at all. This is my space to curate. And in my space, I want everyone to feel safe. That's really basic, right? Like you can't learn or grow or feel nourished until you first feel safe. So in my opinion, safety is benchmark number one. Inside of all of my courses, inside of the collective, my membership, we begin with that foundation of safety. You are safe here. If we see someone behaving in a way that we feel to be unsafe towards anyone in this space, we will handle it. Because I want us to move so far past that baseline feeling of, am I safe or not? Into growth and exploration and vulnerability. Do you know how hard it is to be vulnerable if you don't feel safe? It's nearly impossible. So we're getting over that really fast, okay? So we're moving past that into these more healthy, vibrant spaces where we can be open and we can be encouraging and we can be vulnerable all together. Of course, that makes sense in a place like making artwork or in the collective. That is foundational. But I think it's also important to infuse that kind of energy into your social media spaces, because this is where things begin. This is where the conversation starts. So if you can show up as a leader, as a person curating an emotional climate, even in this online space, you are going to be trustworthy. And not just trusted, because you can be someone that is trusted foolishly, like people might believe you when you're not trustworthy. But if you can actually be someone who's trustworthy, people are going to feel that and they're going to feel safe in that. And then you can move on to way higher levels of thoughtfulness and vulnerability, even in a public space, even in a public forum where people may not want to be vulnerable publicly, but they will because your space is trustworthy. Isn't that beautiful? Like, what an honor to get to create and hold space like this in an online public space. I love it. I think it's so precious. And when I say vulnerability, I don't mean that they have to be baring their souls and telling me their deepest secrets, but they have to feel safe and open enough to say something to you and to maybe compliment or maybe add their opinion or maybe share their thoughts. Like that takes vulnerability to some degree. Okay, so the next level beyond that is, can you create a culture that says, hey, you belong here. You belong here. I know that you belong here. You know that you belong here. This connection is safe. Can you say that in all kinds of beautiful and subtle ways? And it can be as simple as having the energy of Seth Godin's famous line that I love, people like us do things like this. I say that line all the time in our team meetings, in the way that I want to run my course, and the way that I want people to feel in my spaces. Inside of Share the Work next week, you're going to feel, I hope you tangibly feel, people like us, artists like us, dream big. Artists like us, like you and me, we see that dream and we say, I think that dream is in me for a reason. People like us, artists like us, do things like share our work because we know that our work is beautiful. We know that our work is good. My mic almost fell over. It's bowing down to my words. Isn't that cute? It's a tangible and beautiful gift that you get to offer to your community, having that leadership tone. And it's also very fun and friendly and light. It's not like this authoritative, like, dictatorship. That's not the vibe. But if you can create that space for connection and safety, that's so, so beautiful. And it can come out in saying things like, you and I know, or if you've been here for a while, then you know this, or you already know this because of course you do, dot, dot, dot. Like, let's talk about this. Saying things like, hi, friends, or hi, fam, or I've missed you, it's been a while, or as we talked about before, and then you can say what you're talking about. It just creates this connection, this sense of safety, the safe of you, like the sense of you belonging in this space, and therefore they also belong in this space. And this takes bravery on your part also. When I was going through my separation in 2022, I don't think the internet saw this very much, but I was emotionally wrecked for most of that year. I showed up sometimes and I was a shell of who I wanted to be and who I knew myself to be deep down and who I had been in the past. It was like I was gutted for much of the year for a whole list of reasons. I don't need to get into those here, but it was very hard for me to show up and to create that kind of safety and that kind of space. And I think my audience felt it to some degree. A couple of them reached out. Actually, a lot of them reached out. They were so sweet and were like, hey, are you doing okay? Something's off. Like, something seems different. And I wasn't prepared to talk about it. It was too painful and, you know, all the things. But this isn't meant to be a sob story. This is meant for me to tell you that sometimes it can be hard for you to show up as the facilitator of that kind of trust and connection. And I just want you to know that even if you're feeling a little bit nervous about that, or it feels a little bit out of body to you, that you have that power, you have that right, you have that privilege. And if you have the privilege of someone's ears and eyes on your work, then show up. Like, show up in the way that feels safe and supported and also bold and brave. I don't know. I sat down with a marketing advisor who's also a dear friend of mine. So like she knows my life, but she's a marketing expert. So I was like, hi, I need to talk to you. I'm going to hire you to come and just like talk to me because I am stuck. I'm stuck living in fear. I'm afraid of being seen. I'm afraid of showing up. I can show up as a puppet of who I once was, but who am I now? Like, how do I show this? How do I show up? I'm scared. I'm so scared. And that was my own thing to work through. But she was so life-giving to me. And she just said, Emily, you don't need to be afraid, but I understand that you are. How about this? Find a space in your home where you feel very safe. And how about you only talk on Instagram stories for like 15 seconds from that very safe space when you want to? And see how that feels. And I was like, okay, I can do that. I can do that. Okay. And as someone that's had years in this space, like I have had years of practice, you would think it would be fine. I'd be fine. It'd be easy. But no, it was definitely not. I was so scared. And I felt so overwhelmed. So I would show up from my kitchen, this one spot that I could stand in my kitchen where for some reason the home energy felt surrounding and it felt like I'm very safe here and I can stand here and I don't know, it was just such a weird thing, but I could stand in that spot and I could speak for 15 seconds or maybe even a minute. And I did it a few times and it felt good. And she DM'd me and she's like, "You're doing it." I'm like, "I'm doing it. I'm so proud of myself." And you know, that was a long time ago. I hope you didn't even notice that it was happening, but in case you did, we all go through this. So if you're in a place right now where you're feeling a little bit vulnerable about showing up, just try to make yourself feel safe. Again, back to those Maslow's hierarchy of needs, your base need is to feel safe. You can't create a space of connection and thriving and personal self-actualization until you feel safe. So make sure that your base needs are being met in this entire thing too. And then you can set that baseline of safety for your audience as well. I did not plan on talking about any of that. I feel good about it. I'm going to leave it in. It feels very aligned and I trust you. So here we go. Okay. Point number 10. Isn't that incredible? Number 10, we've gone through 9 so far in this 3-part series. The last one that I have for you today is such a fun one. I love this so much. Educators are in, influencers are out. Now, this is not fully true. Like, influencers are still totally a thing. If you're an influencer, you're just fine. Don't even worry about it. You've got this. But as a general rule, people who educate and offer something of value are in. People who just hold up their Stanley cups and tell you to buy a Stanley cup and look cute and give you a little duck face are out. Again, I'm being facetious. It's not like not fully true. But it is true though, right? Like, do you sense what I'm saying? Like, do you see the cultural shift that's happening where you don't want to consume information because someone's looking cute or like they have a following or a brand sent them a free product so they're talking about it? You want to hear from someone that has something of value to say. Now, you can definitely do both. Let's say that my favorite paint company sends me some tubes of paint. It would be so easy for me to do both of these things, both educate and be an affiliate who's maybe getting some kind of compensation for the post or getting some kind of competition for each product sold, that kind of thing, right? It would be so easy for me to educate and offer value while also selling a product. So don't hear me saying that influencer marketing is out, because it's definitely not. And as an artist, it might be really fun to dabble in influencer marketing, both as someone who is the quote unquote influencer and as someone who maybe wants to send artwork to an influencer, like an interior design influencer or someone that posts about their home consistently. Whether they're a large influencer with a lot of followers or a more quote unquote micro influencer, which is just a very cute name. But the algorithm is noticing when posts are tagged with a mandatory hashtag ad, hashtag AD. It's the law. You have to put that on your post. If you are working with a brand and you're getting ad funds, you have to put the hashtag ad on a post. So the algorithms are definitely tracking that hashtag in particular. And when those posts are not getting the engagement that other posts are, they're of course deprioritized. And it's because we are bored of them. Like, I can't iterate that enough. I hope throughout all of these tips, you're hearing me say that the most effective way to grow on social media across every platform in 2024 and far beyond is going to be to have a point of view, to have something to say, and to do it in a way that feels engaging, human to human, engage human to human. I think podcasting is going to be a great way to share your thoughts and to share your ideas this year and going forward, because it lets you share your ideas. You get to speak human to a human, right? Like, you hear me say a million times. I wish I could edit them out, but I do not want to. It's too much work. And there are just so many things that you can tell I'm a person, like flaws and all. I am so sorry, but here I am sitting in my little studio with my microphone that wants to fall over and just talking to you. So I think that's the general theme of all these tips. I've given you 10 tips in these 3 episodes. Go back and listen to them. Write some notes. see what resonates with you. And again, as I said in the first episode, I really want you to take just one or two things and begin to implement them. Don't get overwhelmed. You don't have to do all 10 right now. But if one thing is kind of piquing your interest a little bit and you're like, I want to try doing more specific ads. I want to really target the right people with my ads. Or I want to begin to take more video. Or I want to write more captions that feel really human and maybe even a little bit silly and show my personality, then please do it. That would be awesome for all of us. The more creatives show up as the beautiful, powerful, glorious selves that you and I are and do so in a way that's effective, the better the world becomes. I believe that wholeheartedly. So if these have helped you, I would love to hear your feedback. I'd love to hear what works for you. I would love to hear what you think is missing from this list. This is definitely not all inclusive. These are 10 things that I'm projecting, I'm seeing for myself. I'm going to try playing with myself, but there are probably 10 more or maybe even 100 more that you're sensing and feeling. And if you want to share one, please, please, please do. You can email us at learn@emilyjeffords.com. You can leave a review of this show down below if you liked it. You can leave some stars. Apparently these things matter. I don't know. I don't get funding for this podcast as of right now. I might in the future, but right now it's just me in my little spot talking to you. And I like it that way. It feels very chill, which I love. If you're definitely not done hearing from me, then join me next week and share the work. I cannot wait for this 5-day event. This is going to be so fun, so alive. Just the bursts of energy that you need to infuse your studio with perspective, with some focus, with some clarity, with some really practical tips that will help you grow your studio in 2024, things that are going to help your bottom line, help you sell more work, help you attract the right people to your work. I'm so excited about it. I've been going through the notes this week and just kind of preparing my heart and mind for all the things that I want to say inside of that space. And I feel just deeply humbled and honored that I get this privilege of speaking in a room with so many artists and so many creatives. Like, do you know what that feels like? Oh my gosh, I would love to feel that in real life. I get to feel it a little bit at retreats, and we have about 20-ish artists and creatives in one room, and the energy in the room feels like we're elevating. Like, we are literally hovering above the earth a little bit. It's magic. But virtually being in the room with hundreds of artists and creatives who are looking for growth, looking for more expansion, more elevation of their work, more elevation of their ideas, expanding their dreams and letting them live and be big and beautiful. Oh my gosh, it's so glorious. Like, you can feel it. You can feel the energy in the room. So join us. It's live every day at noon Eastern time, right in our private space. If you can't join us live, you can watch the replays. It still feels great and empowering and definitely, definitely the boost that you might need to help you just, I don't know, refocus and grow and, you know, see what's possible for you in 2024, because I think the entire world is possible for you. If it's possible for me, then it's definitely possible for you. And I can't wait to see the way that you grow this year, because your work deserves it. Okay. I hope this has been encouraging. I hope this has been helpful. I hope you've gotten some beautiful, fresh ideas. Again, don't feel overwhelmed. Progress is quiet and slow. If you're joining me inside of Making Artwork, you're going to hear me say this phrase so often that you might get it put on a shirt. You might get a little tattoo of it. I don't know. It may or may not have been done in the past. You're going to hear me say the phrase 1% better every day. That's all. That's all we need. 1%. That's so little. That's a micro change. Tiny, tiny little steps. That's all we're doing. One little tiny step each day. And by the end, you've changed your entire life. You've changed your entire business. You've changed everything about what you create and what you do and how you offer it. And something about it is even more true and more beautiful than you ever could have imagined. That's the power of those tiny, tiny changes. So in these episodes, in these past 3 episodes, I hope that you have a tiny change that you can make. 1% better every day is all you need. Slow and steady progress. You've got this. It will go by fast. You will make massive growth, massive evolution. It happens so quickly. I cannot believe how different my business looks than it did just 2, 3, 5, 7, 12, 17 years ago. Like it's incredible the difference. It's incredible the growth, like unrecognizable growth. And it went by so very fast. So if you're in a rush, don't be. Tiny little steps. If you're ready for some bigger steps, take a couple bigger steps. You've got this. But be sustainable, be gentle, be gracious to yourself, be gentle with your work, be gentle with your progress. Growing pains are not what we're doing in 2024. They are out. We are into sustainable, gentle, healthy progress. All right, I can't wait to see you inside of Share the Work. Again, scroll up a little bit on your phone, tap the link, RSVP, save your spot. I cannot wait to see you in there. All right, bye for now.